Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder Gregory Lungu, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to our listeners.
Yes, how are you doing? Yes, can you hear me, Elder Lungu?
Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you.
Yes, you're sounding very soft that side. I hope that you can hear us clearly.
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Now I can hear you a little louder. Thank you so much for that. Now, you know, the way we live each day makes a difference. When we treat others and ourselves with respect and compassion, we honor God as our creator and recognize Christ's sacrifice for us. But if we make small, and if we all make mistakes, big or small, and struggle with sin, how can we make sure our behavior consistently reflects the character of God? Fortunately, the Bible gives us timeless guidance on what kinds of intentions, behaviors, and attitudes are beneficial to us, to others, and also to God. Now, I'm an elder. Since we are saved by grace through faith, what does our behavior have to do with salvation? Is there a connection?
A very great connection. Let me point out what you have mentioned. Saved. It's actually not an assumption, but biblical statement, a verse in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 8 to 10. They are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, not of your works, but it is a gift of Christ and good works. One thing that we have a challenge with is that Christians, most of the time, is reading a passage of scripture out of context, or not even out of context, but just reading and getting half of that passage. The Bible is explicitly clear that we are saved by faith, not of our works. But, however, it continues to understand and say we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Therefore, our being saved by faith, or by grace through faith, result into good works. Therefore, there is no one who is saved by grace who does not have good works. While works are not the best on which we are saved, but Christ, our works are a show that indeed we have been saved by grace. Therefore, the works that we do or that are supposed to be done by Christians are a result or a show of that we have already saved. So, in other words, to answer the question simply, works have everything to do with salvation, because they are the ones that show that we are indeed saved by grace. It is for this reason that the book of Revelation chapter 20, we accept that there will be a judgment, and the works of men will die, and those that will be alive will come to judgment, and everyone will be judged based on the things they have done written in the books. And so we see that judgment will be based on works, but then salvation is rather based on the grace of Christ, because the works people have done are because of the Christ they had lived in, the Christ who lived in.
You know, my elder, I'm just going to try and see if I can get you on the other line. While we hear you, you keep cutting, but we are definitely getting the majority of what you're saying. I want to see if the other line would not be better for us. Is that all right?
No problem, no problem.
Okay. I think the elder there, as you can hear the line and not the best of lines. So I want to see if we can actually get him from a different line and see if it's going to be a little better one there. It is 16 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. We're just waiting to have the elder on the line. He was talking to us just now, and we can hear the phone is ringing. I think he's back on the line. My elder, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear now.
All right. It's a different line. It's a definitely clearer line. Thank you so much for that. And you're saying there is a connection. Now, how does the knowledge that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit affect our daily choices, whether big or small?
Well, that's that greatly affects how we behave and how we live, because then we understand and acknowledge that we are not of our own, that everything with our bodies and in our bodies is not ours. If the Holy Spirit, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, imagine having God himself come and reside in our bodies, how then would we behave? Would we watch certain things that are evil in our own sight? Definitely we wouldn't. The thought that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit would make us shun even saying certain statements, evil statements or bad things, because then we would be polluting the body of Christ or the temple of Christ. I'll give a practical example. When an individual goes in a church setup, in a church, for example, the temple of God, which we refer to as the temple of God, there are certain things they will not be able to do in church. They can insult outside, but the moment they come in church, they will say, "We are in church. You cannot say such a thing. We are in church. We cannot do such a thing." So that thought, if it is well embedded and cherished by each and every Christian, then we would be able to live a life that is pleasing to God, because we would have known we are that church, we are that temple, we are that residence of Christ himself. And so it is a critical thought, it is a critical theme that we should embrace as Christians and champion as Christians and meditate upon it as Christians, because then it begins to shape our daily lives, our opinions of things, our actions, our behavior, our every aspect of life would be positively impacted, knowing that Christ resides not just in heaven, but resides right in us and right in our bodies. Mm. And so it would greatly change our perception even of life, and it would positively help us walk in a Christian journey and make it to heaven.
Thank you so much for that. Now, does God care about daily, seemingly mundane choices we make in terms of what or where, what to eat, when to eat, what color jacket am I wearing on a particular day, etc.? I mean, these choices that don't really seem to be of eternal consequences. Does it care about those?
Well, it is us who may think there are certain choices that are of that are minute or maybe not even having a bearing on eternity of life. But you will note with me in scripture that everything that a man does will be brought in judgment, whether good or bad, whether small or big, whether anything that a man does in this life will be brought to judgment. So there is nothing small, regardless of how we may perceive certain things. It may be some form of dress code. It may be some form of, you know, associate, people that we associate with. It may be a form of language that we use. All those things will be brought into judgment, even the tiniest of things. And that's the reason why the Bible in the book of Matthew actually is explicitly clear. It says, if you keep the whole law but stumble on one point, that should be Matthew chapter 17. If you stumble on one point, then you are a transgressor of the whole law. Because he who said, thou shalt not commit adultery, also said, thou shalt not steal. In other words, God requires whole obedience of us. In the little things, even in what we eat, God expects us to be an example of true Christianity and righteousness in the food, in our dress code, in our appearance, in our outfit, in our associates, in the little decisions that we make, even decisions of where we go and where whatever we do. All those things, though small in our eyes, have a bearing on our salvation. And we should ask ourselves at every point in our lives, to say, this that I am about to do, this decision I am about to make, these actions I am about to take, or this thing I am about to put on, is it in line with the will of God? Because in God's eyes, everything counts and everything is important.
Seems like quite a difficult one. It reminds me of example, that rich man, wealthy man. It will be very difficult, like an eye of a needle, to get into the kingdom. Now, sometimes in Christianity, certain personalities seem to be more acceptable than others. For example, a more reserved person is commonly considered to be humble, whereas a more outgoing personality may be considered forward and not modest. Please explain the difference between personality types and Christian behavior.
Well, we may have different personalities, but personalities are not a gateway or a leeway or a passport for a sinful lifestyle. And personality are not what determines righteousness and unrighteousness. Someone may be outspoken, but even in their outspokenness, the character of Christ should be seen in their outspokenness. Someone may be quiet and reserved, but even in their quietness and in their being reserved, the character of Christ should be seen. In other words, we may have different personality traits, which is acceptable, which is normal, which is understood. But at the center of those personality traits, we should still be able to exemplify and to show Christ within the personality traits that we have. It is true that there are people that are naturally quiet. There are people that are naturally outspoken. There are people that are naturally in a certain way. That in itself is not a problem, but in whichever personality trait someone may fit in, there should be Christ seen in that personality. If someone is outspoken, let Christ be seen in their outspokenness. If someone is jovial, is ever happy, in their happiness and in their being jovial, let the character of Christ be seen. So in each and every personality trait, we have to understand that personality traits are beyond probably just things that we want to become. There are things that are deeply embedded in us, but we need to understand that when we are born again in Christ, those personality traits must then be able to show the Christ that we believe in and the Christ that we live by and the Christ that we profess. So personality traits may be there, but at the center of those personality traits, when we are born again and we accept Christ and he changes us, we will be able to reflect Christ regardless of our personality traits.
I'm actually excited that the God that we serve actually is interested in truly in every detail of our lives, whether we sleep, whether we arise, whether we walk or we rest. Man, exciting to know. Now, my elder, if you could just summarize and leave a message for our listeners, what would you emphasize in today's discussion?
Well, I'll get back to our first opening statement. We are saved by grace, and that not of our works, but it is a gift from Christ. But while we are saved by grace, God has called us that through that grace we may show off good works, because the grace of God leads us unto good works. So the good works that we show forth because we are saved are not a means by which we are saved. They are a result of our salvation. So it is very critical, and I would want to emphasize to every listener listening to us this evening and this afternoon that we are saved by grace. But even when we are saved by grace, God expects good works as a result of that salvation. And that's the reason why even at the point of judgment, there will be works to be judged. We are saved by grace. And the works to be judged, those who will be found righteous, they will not be found righteous because they are righteous of themselves, but because of the grace of Christ and the blood of Christ, the atoning blood, that will stand as their attorney even on the day of judgment. As we conclude, I would also want to emphasize the fact that personality traits does not mean we should live in a certain cocoon of a certain lifestyle that is ungodly. Personality traits, when we are saved by grace, we will reflect the Christ that we believe in and who saved us. And so in all this, we will see that Christ is the center and he is our salvation in all things.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, my elder. Pleasure to speak to you, and always, always a pleasure to have you on board. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Sure, thank you.
Bye-bye. Right, there you have it, our elder there, Elder Gregory Lungu, joining us, talking to us about Christian behavior.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.